KFSK News and the Petersburg Medical Center have teamed up for a monthly show called PMC Live. It's during Midday Magazine on the first Thursday of each month, and we're focusing on different departments, new programs, or initiatives at the medical center. So right now, I'm joined in the studio by Medical Center CEO Phil Hofstetter, along with Tara Burns and Ali Minozzi, both occupational therapists. So I'm going to do a quick mic check here to make sure everybody's on.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I saying your name right, Ali?
Yeah, that's right.
Minozzi?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So before we get into all things occupational therapy, I think the CEO has a few announcements.
Yeah, thank you. So a couple of things. I'd like to thank Kelsey Lamb, our PR person over here taking, I think, video. She helped put on the Halloween Hustle. It was the first year doing that, and we partnered with Parks and Rec to do that event, and it was very successful yesterday. So I want to really thank you, Kelsey, for doing that, and thank you, Chandra, for helping with that as well. The other thing I want to announce is on November 15th, we're going to have our first, hopefully in a series, quarterly series called Community Cafe. And it will allow the community and the public to hear and provide feedback on the hospital. And we're going to talk about services. We're going to talk about new facility. And there'll be two times where we'll be doing this. It'll be at 2 p.m. The first time, and then at 6 p.m. Later in the evening. And we're going to have sort of a little bit of a presentation. We have the Alaska State Hospital Association coming as well, and we'll have some PMC managers to take notes from the community and have some tables and discussion points that we'll go over. And so we'll announce more as time goes on, but we're very excited about that.
And that'll be at the medical center?
That will actually be at the library.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. There's a nice space there.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for that announcement. And the other one about the Halloween, was well attended.
Yeah.
It was lots fun. Of little kids there running around having
very
fun.
Very exciting. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So also here in the studio are two occupational therapists, and I'm excited to talk to you about what that is and what it means and, you know, how it's different than physical therapy. So first off, Tara, you're part of the staff here at PMC, and Ali, you're traveling, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So what does that mean?
Traveling OT. Traveling occupational therapy typically means that you work for a company and they assigned you to any rotation or setting or facility that you are interested in around the United States.
Okay, and you landed here.
And I landed here.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
How long are you going to be here?
I'm here for another week or so.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and Tara, you're permanently here.
Yes.
Lucky for us.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. We moved here in February, so I'm coming up on a year here in Petersburg. I'm from Texas originally, so I've been learning a lot about what it means to live in Alaska and a lot about fishing from a lot of my clients that I see, so that's been fun. But yeah, as occupational therapists, most people don't know what we do. We work in what most people still refer to as the physical therapy rooms, which is rehab, along with speech therapy. So as occupational therapists, we work on jobs of everyday living, and we focus really on what's important to that person and what goals they want to work on. So for example, we could work on something with a patient with dressing, or maybe eating is difficult, or going to the bathroom, taking a shower. Those are kind of basic activities of daily living that we work on. But also funner things like leisure activities or work participation, getting out and about in our community. We cover pretty much anything a person wants to work on, we can work on with them if they're having difficulty because of an injury or something like a stroke maybe, or if it's something chronic that they're living with.
It's kind of what it was bringing to mind for me was kind of like, I don't know, post-surgery or post-whatever injury.
Mm-hmm.
And you're finding that this particular activity is just not happening very easily anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, for instance, if somebody has let's say you broke your hip, when you break your hip, you're under a lot of precautions, and there's certain things that you're not able to do as well. And you can't put a lot of weight on that leg, or you're not supposed to be twisting. So things like sitting on a couch, that may break your precaution. So you need to relearn how to sit on a couch for a little while, or relearn how to dress for a little while. A lot of those little activities that we do without thinking about it after an injury, they can become harder. So that would be after an acute injury, something we would work on. If somebody, if you're a kid and you have a diagnosis that you've lived with your entire life, we also work with pediatrics. Play is considered an activity of daily living. So I'm sure some people in the community have seen me outside playing with some kiddos or walking back and forth from the school and doing those kinds of things, which is really fun. We're really fortunate here in Petersburg that I get to work with everybody. I see kids all the way to geriatrics. With the hospital, we do home health as well. Yesterday, we actually just had a dementia class that I taught and led for nursing staff up in long-term care. So that's an avenue that we've been getting into a lot more lately, hoping to give some more community resources for caregivers related to dementia.
So it sounds like there is a crossover with physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different than just going to a general doctor, but it also seems kind of specific. So how do you work with the physical therapist too? I mean, how do you decide where, you know, a patient goes?
Right. Does somebody need physical therapy, right, or occupational therapy, or speech therapy? So a lot of times we'll see a lot of the same patients, particularly after like a stroke. Allie and I will work on somebody more with their upper body, say, for instance, in the case of a stroke, while physical therapy will work more on lower body, so walking around and that kind of things. And speech may be working on swallowing or cognition. Our fields overlap a lot. And again, we're very fortunate here that we have a great team, and we communicate a lot with each other, and we make sure that we're working together, but on different avenues. With occupational therapy, a lot of times we'll use desired kind of leisure activities or activities that are really important for the person in order to reach the same goals. So for instance, I've worked on going down to the docks and getting onto boats with people, which overlaps a lot with physical therapy because they're working on balance and things like that. But we're working on either upper body stuff or doing that physical activity, maybe modifying the activity a little bit so that they can participate in it more.
Is training about the same for OTs and PTs?
Yes.
Like schooling and mm-hmm. getting prepared?
Yeah, so I have a master's degree, but a lot of occupational therapists have a doctorate degree, which is the PTs have doctorates as well. But a lot of the coursework and our follow-up clinicals are very similar in terms of school and education.
You have to know the anatomy.
Yes, definitely.
Muscles and bones and all of it. Yeah. So, Allie, I'll ask you, what made you get interested in occupational therapy?
Ooh, that's
specifically
a good question.
Like, you know, at some point it was like OT or PT.
Yeah, it was. In high school, I was trying to decide between OT and PT. So lucky enough, our school offered like a co-op class where you could go out into the community and shadow a profession that you think you might be interested to do in the future. And one of my friend's moms was an occupational therapist, and she's like, hey, come here and see what we do, and you can also see physical therapy too. So I spent some of my time with physical therapy and some with occupational therapy, but then after the first like month, I would say I strictly went to occupational therapy because I was in a setting of hand therapy specifically. So if you broke your arm or you cut some tendons, cut your finger off, I thought that was super cool how they rehab the people to get back to their desired and meaningful daily activities, whether that be, you know, fishing, sewing, going to work, those types of things. I just thought it was super cool. And then once I got to school, I was like, whoa, OT has so much more you can do than just hand therapy. And so then I fell in love with it, and now I love every setting. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of PT. I haven't been to OT yet.
Sure,
it'll happen. But it just seems like such a holistic kind of healing process. You know, doctors, I think, are limited on time. You know, when you go in and you go to the general doctor and they say, okay, what's your illness? And but then once you get into the PT, there's a lot of time spent. And, wow, I had a foot problem once. And how many sessions later, I'm like able to work out and run and jump rope. And, you know, a year earlier wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Whole life changer there, really.
Yeah, definitely. So I've worked with patients in really interesting settings because it was something that was important to them and it was something that they were trying to get back into. So I've been out on the gun range before with some guys who were having a hard time seeing their targets. It was a professional shooter. And so that was super cool. I would never have imagined that I would be out at a range shooting a shotgun with a patient. I think occupational therapy is pretty unique in that we get to work on leisure activities and what's really meaningful to the patient. So I've done sewing activities. I've learned how to knit and how to bead and play the guitar and so many cool things. So many different avenues that are available as an occupational therapist to work on people with because that's what's important to them.
So is it something where you're kind of looking at that activity and saying, how can I help their body improve to where like muscles improve or getting stronger so they can do this activity? Or is it modifying it where the movements are like, that's not going to happen for this person because their body is not able to do that thing. So we're going to modify the activity to where they can do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's a little bit of both. So for instance, the guy that I was out at the range with, he was having some really hard time with his vision. So in the clinic setting, we were working on getting his eyes stronger so he wasn't seeing his two targets. He was just seeing the one. But then we were also looking at activity modification, so changing up how he was shooting and trying out different glasses and things like that so that we could get that best fit there. So it just depends on what the person wants. And a lot of times people are able to, so for instance, with your foot injury, a lot of people who have a physical injury like that that is trying to get rehabbed, you're more motivated to work on it and get it stronger when you're doing an activity that's important to you versus just pumping out reps. So that's one of the things that we work on a lot, and it's pretty interesting. I like the whole holistic approach to things.
Yeah, really kind of working on something for a while and making it better. And for me, it was just something that I had no idea. Like, I had nowhere to start. I didn't know how to make it better, but I really wanted it better.
Yeah.
And just a few modifications. Even how I walked, just thinking about the way your body moves, really being conscious of that. And, wow, it was kind of like going to school. I learned a lot, really.
Yeah.
But another question I have is, about getting into see an OT, you know, what's that process like? Is it something where patients schedule it themselves, or do they need a reference? Do they need to be referred by a doctor?
Yeah, so excuse me. So you need a referral by your primary care physician, and that's to be seen for outpatient. We also see inpatients. So if you're really sick and in the hospital, You need a referral in order to be able to see us, but that's pretty streamlined, I suppose, if you're inpatient. We also see home health, so it's the same thing. If you're referred to home health services, then your doctor will determine if you need home health, occupational therapy, or physical therapy, or speech therapy.
And then how long do you see a patient for helping them with this specific leisure activity that they want to be able to do again?
Yeah.
You know, is it a few times or do you see them for a year? How does that work?
It really depends on what the client needs. So I have a few patients that I've seen just for kind of intensive sessions. Maybe they have a chronic concern that they just need a couple little pointers or a couple little modifications here and there. Maybe I've set them up with the home exercise program and some splints, and it just needs to be modified a little bit every year. Some people we see for 8 to 12 weeks, and then they're pretty good. They're back to their baseline. a lot of my kiddos I see on a regular basis just because they're kids and they're growing and they have a condition that they're going to live with for the rest of their life. But it really depends. If a kiddo breaks their arm, for instance, then I'll probably just see them, you know, for an 8 to 12 week session until they've kind of got that cast off and are using that arm again.
All right. Well, Allie, you're here for about another week. Is there anything that you wanted to add that I haven't?
Sure. Another thing, area we kind of look at is prevention. So for example, like work-related injuries, we can go into a work site and kind of just watch how people do their work. We watch all the movements in their neck, shoulders, arms, how they're holding their posture. And we kind of look at that and you can determine if the way that they're working could potentially in the future cause some kind of work-related injury. So a thing that we could do is create adaptations to your workstation, whether that be raising your chair, adding things to your computers, or just anything. And we can give like exercise programs. For example, every morning, every single employee has to do like a 10-minute little warm-up stretching exercise type thing. Another area of prevention we could look at is car fit, it's called. So you would look at your car and determine how a person is driving. So if you're concerned about maybe the elderly population driving, so what an occupational therapist could do is go look at their car, have them sit in their car, and you can adjust the mirrors, their seat, their steering wheel, everything the way that should be for them to drive with maximal safety. And so we can also recommend adaptations such as adding little mirrors like on the outside of their mirror so they can see more around their car. You can add extensions in the mirrors, seatbelt extenders, and things like that. And if you're a caregiver, if you're having trouble like transferring a patient in and out of a car, there's techniques you can use or in adaptive equipment. So something, for example, would be, it's called a handy bar. And what that does is attaches into the frame of the car. It's about 6 inches long. And you just hold on to that to push yourself up rather than holding on to the door. Because a lot of people like to hold on to the door and that moves. And so they become unstable and could potentially fall. And with these handy bars, a lot of times they come with like a thing to cut your seatbelt. If you're in an accident and you need to get out of your seatbelt, you can cut your seatbelt. You can break your window if you're like underwater, and some have flashlights on them. There's all sorts of things you can look at on the prevention level as well.
That is really interesting.
Yeah. That reminds me, we also do home visits to kind of evaluate your home. For an elderly and aging population, maybe you need grab bars in your house, things like that. So we also go into the home, and those are kind of like one-off visits where we just go in maybe one or two times just to kind of check and update and see if there's any modifications that can happen in the home in order to help you age more successfully at home and reduce the risk of falls. We've also have some surveys that are available to the community members. There's some at the doctor's office and also in the latest email that was sent out for the hospital. For caregivers, we're looking at caregiver burnout and what kind of education and opportunities we can provide for caregivers in our community. It's kind of an area where we don't currently have a lot of support, and it's something we want to be able to provide to the community. So if you have not already filled one out and you are a caregiver, please do. We would like to get those classes. We'd like to know what people want, and we would love to get those classes off the ground to help provide a little bit of assistance for people who are caring for people in their homes right now.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. I mean, the amount of time that people are at work is so significant.
Yeah.
Like desk sitters,
mm-hmm.
You know, people are working on the slime line or, mm-hmm. you know, in the fisheries and doing repetitive things or just sitting in the same position for so long. It's a big chunk of people's lives.
Yeah.
And then caregivers.
Yep.
That's hours a day.
Yeah. And if we can prevent things, that's going to be better than us trying to fix things on the back end, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, I don't know if people know how, this the therapy department here at PMC, how robust it is. We have physical therapy, we have occupational therapy and speech therapy. And there's not a lot of communities, especially rural communities, that have such a skilled staff in the hospital to be able to do a lot of these things. And I'm listening to all the different things. Some of the things I didn't even know that we're doing, on a daily basis. And it's just amazing to me to have that opportunity here in Petersburg to be able to provide those services across the board. You know, I see the activities in long-term care and in acute care with rehabilitation patients and in the outpatient setting. And then now in a home setting, in home health and home visit setting, doing assessments. It's just, it really is something that to be proud of in this area. And again, in most organizations, most facilities, it's very difficult to get this kind of specialty services. So it is kind of incredible we're able to do that and expand that. And we do hope to expand it. You know, we hope that Ellie comes back to
I would love to come right? back.
So it's really incredible. And I think, it's just wonderful to have that to have that at PMC. So thank you both for being here too. So anyway,
I can from my personal experience, it seems like the need is there, because when I was in physical therapy, there were other people in there too, getting stuff, getting help.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Wasn't just me. Before we go, do you have any tips for people out there? Just when Allie, you were mentioning prevention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for people who are right now sitting at their desks at work in the same position for hours, mm-hmm. Any tips for them?
You could just, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, my neck's kind of hurting, I've been looking down all day at my computer, you could think of ways, oh, maybe I can put like a book under my computer to elevate it so then it's within eye level, so then it doesn't hurt as much.
So keep your computer at eye level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess my biggest tip for people is to remember to take a little bit of time out of every day for yourself. A couple minutes, even if that's just doing some deep breathing, some relaxation, something where your phone is off. Maybe you've waited until your kids have finally gone to sleep, if you have kids that sleep. But just take a few minutes of time for yourself every day. It's so important to do that.
It's harder than, it's easy to say, but...
It's hard.
All right. Well, anything else that we might want to mention?
So I talked about some of the therapies. This is like the first in a three-part series, since there's physical therapy and speech therapy. So we definitely want to have the other folks, because they're all doing great things. Mm-hmm. Speech therapy has expanded some service lines that they've been able to do. And it's, again, it's one of those showcase opportunities to have and let people aware, just educate the community on some of those services so they're aware of what's we have available at the hospital.
And on PMC Live, we will be talking to the therapists. That's the first Thursday of every month during Midday Magazine is when PMC Live is. And we're going to be posting the talks on our website, kfsk.org. So we'll post this one pretty soon.
Great.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully we'll see you again in Petersburg, Allie.
Thank you. You will.